Hello and welcome to Women of Influence Podcast. Hi, I'm Jaylen with J Group Real Estate Team.
The Great American Speak Off.
One of my favorites.
Hey everyone, guess what? It's another Wednesday Women of Influence podcast. Today I have with me Laura Mahoney. Laura Mahoney strives in creating a sustainable health and fitness routine for the busy woman, especially moms. Welcome, Laura.
Welcome. Thank you. That intro was so energizing. I loved it.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. So I know that we follow each other on the socials and I'm like super inspired by you. You're a very dynamic woman and person. You're well-traveled. I have so many questions I want to ask you this morning. But first and foremost, tell us a little bit about what you do. I know you specialize in health and fitness, especially for moms, without making them feel too crazy about like what they're doing. So how does that work?
Exactly. Yeah, I've had a long run of this too. So I've been in the fitness industry for 13 years, which is not that common for most of us. So I started right when I graduated college and clearly like had ebbs and flows of my own life and in my career. So I got to really adapt my training style according to seeing all the changes again for me, but also for my clients over the years. And that's where I really have come together now into creating sustainable workout programs for busy fit people. So obviously, like as you get older, you get more responsibilities, you get job promotions, et cetera. Your time is so limited. And I think it's so important to find ways to be consistent in health and fitness and working out and, you know, having sustainable nutrition guidelines in order to see progress over time. Because obviously, as we get older too, the less you do, the more you kind of deteriorate over time. And whether that's with injuries, you know, we lose our muscle mass, we lose collagen by that point in time. And we want to still have the reactionary time in order to do things that we love. In addition to, you know, you could focus on aesthetics and muscle building from there. But that's kind of the baseline of it all. So I was a competitive power lifter too. I had a state record at one point in time, which was really cool. And at that point in my life, that's all I did. So I had to figure out ways to, for my own self, to stay strong and to, you know, keep up the intensity and the performance that I wanted to have, but in a realistic, sustainable way for my life.
Obviously, I love it.
Having kids too, really.
Yes. Oh, that's a workout in itself. Like, you know, you were using the word deteriorate. That's a very hard word to say, especially on a Thursday, on a Wednesday. Sorry. But
I got last night.
Yeah, I totally get it. I need more coffee. But I saw on one of your videos, you were literally doing pull-ups in the door frame in your house. And number one, I was so impressed with the fact, number one, you could do the pull-up. And I'm like, I can't even do that with the assisted band, like with like 60 pounds of assisted weight. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I am a little bit older and I have deteriorated a little bit. So I have found it's definitely a lot more challenging to maintain and like build strength, especially where I was, you know, 20, 30 years ago. It was like so frustrating.
Yeah. Is it, that's the hard part of it all too, is like with those ebbs and flows, we know that they're going to happen. So it's kind of being proactive in it, but also obviously reactionary too, and coming up with a good plan and a solid workout program that does help you. And then coming up with nutrition habits that complement the programs.
Got it. Yeah. So how do you incorporate your passion for health and fitness into your daily life? And what advice would you give to others also looking to prioritize their health?
This is a loaded question. It's hard. It's hard.
Throwing a lot at you there.
And I like telling you. No, it's right. Like I have two young kids. I have a almost 3-month-old. I have a 2.5-year-old son. I have my own business. My husband, he's home a lot of the time, but when he works 24 plus hour shifts. So he's gone. Like he's literally gone. I have no help. And my family's not that close to me either. So I have no help when he's gone. So really like fitting health and fitness into my life. You think like, oh, she's, you know, she's in the fitness world. She's a personal trainer. She's a fitness coach. You think like, that's all I do on an everyday basis. But in reality, it's only 30 minutes of my day, if that. I don't really have the luxury of doing it as often as I want either. So that's, you know, you have to kind of reflect on a strategy that could work for you with the understanding that your strategy is probably going to change, you know, over time. So you can have even a couple of strategies that go with it. So, you know, I plan around nap time with my kids. You know, if they're both home, I really hope that my son naps, and sometimes he doesn't. And sometimes he watches me work out, and that's just as fine. He joins in, and I just know it's not going to be, you know, like the most intense workout ever. And then there's days he's at daycare. I still have my daughter with me, and same thing. She gets to watch me, or I hope she naps. And if she doesn't, then, oh, well, but I'm also, you know, fitting all that in for my life in the midst of training my clients. So it's a, you know, just thinking ahead of time, lowering the expectations that it's going to be perfect all the time, because it's not. And then when people have a hard time fitting it into their schedule, they can also do what I like to call workout snacks. And they just do pieces of the workout throughout the day. So it's not one big overwhelming, you know, half hour workout. It's, you know, maybe 1 minute at the beginning of your day, 1 minute midway through your day, 1 minute halfway through your day. And then it adds up to, you know, a big picture. And that's like with me doing my pull-ups and literally in my bathroom doorway. We have a pull-up bar. Every now and then I just do a couple to keep up that strength. And, you know, it's not a part of my workout program necessarily, but it's something that I can do as like the workout snack to keep me active, to keep it going without having to like stop and start, you know, a structured exercise program every single day.
I love that so much. So it's not about, okay, you have to get in at least 20 minutes of exercise. You can do little snippets here and there at a time. That is awesome. I never really thought about it that way, to be honest.
Yeah, it's hard too, because we live in a world where the majority of the time we're thinking of black and white. You do it or you don't. You work harder or you don't. You have to get this promotion. So you have to, you know, really step up your game, and you have to block off chunks of time for every little part of your day. And we forget that if you do little bits and pieces of things over time, it's going to add up. And that's where I like to really say, like, the overwhelm, it's overwhelming to start a workout program or to continue on one, to be honest, right? Especially when your life is busy. But if we can reduce the overwhelm by reducing the expectations, reducing like the barriers to entry, then you're more likely to keep it sustainable.
Yeah, absolutely. Makes sense. 100%. I know you were touching on earlier, you know, working out and doing your business and training is not the only thing you do. I know that you've also dabbled in interior design. So what sparked your interest in becoming an interior decorator on a budget? And do you have a particular design style?
I'm so into this now. And I'm like, I love it. I have to stop myself from doing it too much too. So I don't even know where it started. I always loved organizing. I have like a very type A personality when it comes to that, and it annoys the crap out of my husband because he is not that way.
Help me.
So I've always loved organizing, but as you know, it must have been, you know, I lived in Boston. I lived in so many different apartments. So like trying to put it all together and like, you know, being a new personal trainer in this city is not the most like well-paying job in the world too. So I always had to do it on a budget no matter what. And it, especially with like design styles, we like to change things so much. So I never want to spend that much money on anything, one piece in particular, unless it's like a solid base, right? And then you can kind of like decorate around that, but with the understanding that things might get swapped out every other season. And then honestly, when I moved in with my husband, he works the 24-hour shifts, but he was doing a double that weekend. And he just said, hey, do whatever you want with this apartment. And I was like, all right, if you tell me I'll do whatever I want, then I will. And that's, I think, probably what started it all was like really, you know, like him being open to me being like as flexible as I wanted to be with anything and me being able to create it into like something that I felt like was home for me and not just like the bachelor pad that it was prior to that. And then it stemmed along with having kids and designing nurseries and all that.
So, oh, fun. So this is my real. Oh, go ahead. Yes. I love it.
No, I did this.
Oh, I love it. Very fun. Very cool. I can kind of see it. There we go. Now, speaking of your husband, you guys got married in the Grand Canyon. What made you decide on the Grand Canyon?
It's so funny. I was watching a documentary one day. He's going to laugh at me if I ever say this out loud to anybody. But I was watching a documentary on maybe Netflix about Harry and Meghan and, you know, like how in love they were and whatnot. And I, you know, I watched it the next day. He came home from work and I just said, if I could marry you tomorrow, I would. And we kind of said, okay, let's go get married. And that was pretty much it. So we waited a couple of weeks because I wanted a wedding dress. I didn't want to go like right then and there. Of course. I really wanted to see if I could find one in time. Yep, of course. I like, that was always a thing I grew up with. My mom like always showed me wedding dresses and, you know, make them look pretty and everything. So I got a dress somehow. I found it and I got it tailored in, I think, 3 weeks, which is like unheard of. And then we went to the Grand Canyon. We had gone there the year prior for our like first vacation together. So we got married within about a year of meeting. The year prior we went to the Grand Canyon, we loved it. And we just kind of decided that was our spot.
I love that. Now you guys have been all over the place, including Boston. I know you moved to Boston. Can you share a specific moment or event that stands out from your spontaneous move to Boston and how it impacted your life?
Oh my God. It's so funny, but I loved it. I never, ever, ever regretted my decision to do it, but I don't know if I would ever recommend it to somebody doing it in the position that I was in. I just graduated college. I had like minimal like understanding of what the real world was and like, you know, budgets and finances. And, you know, I had the cushion of like my parents helping me out a good amount too. So going to Boston, I was completely on my own. And that was kind of the rule. It was like, we're not going to help you. So you're on your own. And if it means you have to work in Dunkin' Donuts, you have to. So I ended up, you know, kind of going on a whim. And, you know, I started off as a part-time personal trainer. Literally, I worked 20 hours a week and I made $12 an hour. I did not like make money at all. It took a very long time to be able to. Like, yeah, I know, right? It's spontaneous entrepreneur here, small business owner. And that was it though. But like, I ended up working at the YMCA in Chinatown in Boston, and I became such good friends with the people there. And it was like, I'm from a very, very small, like suburban, you know, white town. So like me going to the middle of Chinatown in a big city was so different for me. But they welcomed me so much into the community that it became like home pretty quickly. And then I got job opportunities too. Like I busted my butt because I knew I needed to. And I got offered a assistant director position within a year of being there. And then it kind of just, you know, was this positive snowball from there. I got more job promotions over the course of time. And, you know, I like changed gyms too that I worked in here and there as well. And like most of the time it was with the job promotion. But, you know, I was broke for a little while and I had to learn how to, you know, be on my own and really like survive and try to figure out how, like what made me happy and what I wanted to become and who I wanted to become from there. And that was kind of all of it is, you know, being welcomed into a community where I didn't expect it to be really shaped my life and kind of taught me like the foundation of happiness and what I wanted to be. And I ended up obviously loving my career from it too, by stage. So it was kind of putting all the random pieces together and going into like where I am now.
So just kind of following the path and that little voice inside your head, whatever, just kind of led you to Boston and things just kind of snowballed from there, right?
Yep. And I did not expect to stay there as long as I did. And it's like I said, it's not something I would recommend to somebody moving, like when you're not making that much money, especially to like one of the more expensive cities in the country. However, I am so fortunate and so grateful for how it played out for me.
That's fantastic. So you're obviously a very positive person full of light. So what has been the most rewarding part of being that positive light in the eyes of others? And how do you strain to maintain that positivity?
It's also a loaded question. It's encouraging for me. That's how I guess I like to look at it too. The more feedback I hear from other people, the more it makes me feel like I'm doing something good in the world. So the more I want to continue doing it. Right. And granted, like I have my cranky days too. Like I'm not always like upbeat, and not everybody has liked me either in my career. And no, not everybody has loved training with me. And that's like all a personality style. Right. And that's just normal. That's going to happen. That's expected for life. But at the same time, like those that have delivered positive feedback have really kept me going. And, you know, I always say like, my goal in life, it was never like a job goal. My goal in life is literally to make a difference in somebody's life. And then this job obviously allows me to be able to do it, allows me to build relationships with people and, you know, have an outside impact on their life too. So you get the personal connection, but also they get to like see the results and feel the results of what, you know, training and focusing on their body and their health really does in their own world.
You keep doing what you're doing because you are fantastic at it and you're living your purpose. So, yeah, there's actually one thing that you and I have in common that you may not be aware of, but we have both studied abroad in Italy. Tell me about like what your experience was like.
It was awesome. I actually wanted to live in Italy. When I was in high school, I watched Under the Tuscan Sun, and then I read the book, and I was like, I can do this. I can live in Italy. Like, there's just something so calming about, because the atmosphere, the way of life there, the scenery, and I just loved it. So I took Italian lessons or Italian classes in college. So I learned how to speak Italian. I only took 2 semesters, so I wasn't like great at it, but I could hold my own pretty well. And then I decided to study in Florence, and that was it. And I like want to go back all the time. I loved it. And I loved, like I said, just the culture of it. It was like partially really relaxing, but it was also absolutely beautiful there. And again, that goes with my spontaneous side. Like I always said, you know, anytime I traveled somewhere, it reminded me that there was like a different way of life in the world. Like what I know is not the only thing in the world, even though that's all I know. So anytime I went somewhere else, it's like, this is a good way of life. I like this one. And that's really, you know, my heart has a soft spot for Italy and that.
I love it. Parlo italiano molto bene. That's about all I know how to say. But yeah. I also studied in Firenze, in Florence, and it was like one of the best memories I've ever had. This was back in 1991, way back when, but I remember I stayed at this house with this house family, and my house brother, his name was Massimo, and he would take me around on his Vespa scooter to go take me to go get espresso in the morning. And it was like such an amazing memory. Back then I had really short hair, and I remember all of the people in the street coming up to me, touching my hair, asking me if it was real. I'm like, have you never seen a blonde before? So yeah. So
you stick out when you're an American. You stick out really well.
yes, definitely. So I did have another question or two I wanted to ask you. This is kind of random, but I noticed that you have a big Bernese mountain dog, or you had one. What led you to choose a Bernese?
Yeah. Honestly, I never even wanted a dog in the first place. I was a cat person. But again, when I met my husband, he said he wanted a dog. And actually, soon after we met, he said he was a dog person. I was like, oh shit, this isn't going to work out at all. But then, you know, obviously it did. He said he wanted a dog, and he said he like had seen Berners before and like knew they were really good dogs, like good. They had good personalities. They were great with kids, good family dogs. So that was it. He wanted one, and I said, okay. And then actually I was the one that pushed for him when we got him, because again, you know, learning my husband's schedule and moving in with him, I was like, this isn't quite like my home yet. Like, I don't feel quite like me right now. And I want a companion. I want a little bit of company. I want a big, big bear of company. So, when we got him, I was the one that pushed for him, and there he is. He's actually like hiding right around the corner right now.
Oh, is he? Oh, I think we all want to meet him. Can you have him come out? Hello, okay. Where is he?
I'm going to go to him. Because he's a little lazy boy. There he is.
Aw. Hi, honey. Oh, is he sleeping?
Yeah.
Oh, he's so cute. Okay, we'll leave him alone. Let him have his nap. So, can you?
No, it's fine. He needs attention.
I think they all do. Like, aren't dogs the best, though? Like, they don't give you any attitude. They always love you. Even if you've left them for a few hours to go out shopping or whatever, they're just always so happy to see you. The best, they have the best souls ever.
It's amazing. It's so nice.
Yeah. So I know, Laura, that we've talked a little bit about your travels. Have you had any particularly memorable or life-changing travel experiences that have shaped your perspective or goals?
Good question. I had a lot. I'm trying to think of, I can narrow it down a little bit. Okay, I'll go with two things. Number one, so I have family in Sweden and Germany. So I went to go visit my family in Sweden when I was in high school. So like 2005-ish, give or take a little bit. And I got to meet, you know, the relatives. I got to see like where my great grandparents grew up. And that was like really, I had a lot of introspection with that because I finally got to see like where my family was, but like in what my family's history was. But also I went with my grandma, I went with my dad, and I got to see like how much it meant to, especially my grandma at the time. And just like, it reminded me again, like there was like a whole nother way of life. There was so much more beyond just me and like the life I knew right now. And that was amazing. It was really, really nice to be able to see that. And, you know, I went to like a small town in Sweden where my, I believe it was my great grandfather was from, and I would have never, like, it's not a popular destination point. So like, you don't seek out to go there, but I'm so fortunate that I got to see it and it was absolutely beautiful. So that was one. And then kind of going along with that. So I've been to Europe a handful of times, and when I met my husband, I don't think he had traveled outside of the country. We barely have still together even, but that's where our, like, West Coast, and you'll appreciate this, that's where our West Coast love came from, is he and I went to the Grand Canyon for our first like big vacation together. We went to Zion National Park too, and we absolutely loved it. And it reminded me that even in the same country, there's so many different things to be able to see that, again, this, what I know in Massachusetts and Connecticut, where I grew up, is not the only way of life. There's something so much more out there, and that's only, you know, a 5-hour plane ride away.
Yeah. Isn't it interesting how a lot of Americans in particular, I will say, they tend to get stuck in one place. Like, they grew up in a particular city, they stay there, they work there, they retire there, they die there. And I'm like, I always found that so fascinating and interesting. Like, why don't you get out and explore the rest of the world? There's not just one way of doing things, right? So good for you for traveling.
Thank you. I became very wise early on with that. And then again, I want to be able to like help people too, like everywhere in the world. And it's, you know, it stems beyond fitness too. So anytime I go somewhere, I'm like, well, how can I insert myself if I ever wanted to? And there we have it. It's fun
that's,
for me.
That's great. Well, before we wrap it up, there's one last question that I would like to ask you. And so if you could offer just one piece of advice to someone looking to make a significant life change, based on your own experiences, what would that one piece of advice be?
Follow your gut. I'll go with that. Are we talking life experience or not fitness? Not fitness only, right?
Well, why don't you give me one of each?
Oh, one of each. Okay. So life, follow your gut. I think that doing that, like, I'm the oddball in my family. And if my family ends up watching this, they will understand entirely. Like, I'm the one that moved away. I'm the one that, you know, chose like the less stable career, but, you know, a very rewarding one that you can make it what you want it to be. It just takes a lot of hard work. So I'm the oddball, but they were cautious with me and, you know, tried to protect me as much as they could, but they also knew they weren't going to stop me either. So, you know, if you have an inkling or intuitions about things in your life and people are telling you not to do them, I highly suggest just doing them anyways. And then fitness is just try to think about doing small things on a consistent basis. Again, it doesn't have to be all or nothing. It doesn't have to be black and white. It's not, you know, if you're going to do like a diet or a workout program that's too overwhelming for you, you're probably not going to stick with it. So find something that you can make work into your lifestyle without it taking over your life.
Great, great advice, Laura. And before I let you go, if somebody wanted to reach out to you for your services and your advice, how would they get a hold of you?
You can do a couple ways. So I'm usually like on Instagram and Facebook. So Instagram is at Laura Mahoney Fitness. Facebook is just Laura Mahoney. I'm sure you can find Laura Mahoney Fitness on there too. Or info@lauramahoneyfitness.com is my email.
Okay, I'm going to put a little banner in there. Did I spell that properly?
You got it. Perfect.
All right. Everyone, reach out to Laura on her Instagram or via the other methods she shared. And thank you so much, Laura, for your time. I really enjoyed our time together today.
Me too. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.